Well, we want to spend a little time talking to you about some things that I think will be helpful for moms and as we go through this, continuing the series that we've been in. I brought my wife, Shawn, up here to help teach a little bit. Yep, so she's going to cheer. It's kind of, she always gets more cheers than me, but whatever. Anyways, the topic today, of course, in dealing with things about for mamas and women, you know, I, as a pastor of this house for these years, all these years now, I think I've learned enough about some of the struggles, at least, that women may face spiritually to be able to stand up here on my own and help share things for women to know. But there are certain things and certain times when I come up here on a Mother's Day where I'm like, hey, Shawn, I think some of these things would be better to be affirmed or spoken into by a woman in a woman-to-woman setting. And so I asked her to join me in our time together to continue our series. We have been in a series called Unsubscribe. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, what we've been doing is we've been talking about things in our lives that maybe we need to unsubscribe from in order to encounter more of God, and some things that we may need to subscribe to in order to encounter more of God. So as we've been working through that, we've been, you know, just challenging you to do business with God each week and say, what is it you're revealing to me? And I think, women, you're going to get an opportunity to let God just speak to you in this time and be able to bring some clarity to some decisions and choices that you may have to make. I do want to say that our conversation, again, it's not just for moms. It's going to be for all ladies here in the house. And so I hope you'll take good notes. I hope you'll pay attention no matter where you are. As a matter of fact, there'll be things here for men to deal with as well. And so I hope you're not the dude in the house that's not taking notes. I hope you're the one that is also taking notes as we go through this, because you'll get some helpful information as well. I also recognize that on a Mother's Day, and this has been confirmed by conversations after church already, there are many people here in this room. Mother's Day is not a joyful day. You have lost a mother, maybe recently, and it's a tough day. There are ladies in this room that want to be a mother and haven't maybe been able to. There are people that have lost children, and so it makes it hard. I think in the way that we're going to share with you today, no matter where you are on this journey of life, especially ladies, you will get some helpful information for your soul. We hope to be able to do that. One of the things we want to start out with, really, is talking about some unsubscription, some unsubscribing things that need to happen, I think, for women to be healthy. And we're going to, I think, center the first part of our conversation around, I'll let her talk in a moment, okay?
Yeah.
Just a moment. She's not ready yet. Things that we need to unsubscribe from, and including identity. So let me talk to the men for just a second. A man can get his identity wrapped up in the wrong thing. He can spend a life being consumed by things that are not of God, and his whole identity is wrapped up in it. For example, over the years, I've spent time talking to men who, you know, maybe the younger years of their life, they put all their energy into a sport. Their whole life revolved around a sport. And they believed that sport was going to carry them through their entire life. And then at a young age, you know, maybe in high school, maybe in college, a knee was blown out, a shoulder, an elbow. And they spent some years of their life just lost because their entire identity was wrapped up in that sport. There are some young people, you're younger, and this has kind of maybe recently happened to you. It's you're in this low place because you feel like you've lost everything. What is that? That's wrong identity. The sport itself could be very joyful, but if it owns you to the point where it is your identity, it's problematic. Men, there are men in this room. Like, your story is your bank account, and if your bank account is great, you feel like you got it all together, you know, and your life is, but if it's low, you know, there's problems going on in your life financially, then you must be a low, you must not be doing well as a man in your life. So that unhealthy identity, Shawn, recently in our journey in life, you've discovered an area where it's been problematic for ladies.
So Gary and I are empty nesters. So what I am seeing a lot of is women who had their identity so wrapped up in their kids for 20, 24 years that when they get to this stage of life, they are lost. They feel like they don't have purpose, and they are grieving where they are. And so I do see this where women get so caught up in that as their identity that they don't know what to do when the next comes.
Yeah, so that's just one area. We're going to talk about kids and more of that here in our time together. But again, wrapping a life, we're going to share things that on the surface, they're not bad. You know, they're not bad things, but it's when your life is wrapped up in these things. Now we've got a problem. So I put in your notes six wrong identities a woman must unsubscribe from in order to have a healthier identity about themselves. And so here's a little reminder that we have been giving you these little cards each week of this series for you to just, okay, God, this is what you're revealing to me in my time that I need to maybe deal with. As we go through these six, God may reveal one, two, maybe several of these that are an issue for you in your life. And you can kind of, okay, write on that caption, God, I just have a sense that you're speaking to me about this. We've had this theme of this series, of this park bench, that in this moment of quiet time and alone time with God, if I could have that quiet time with God, what would he reveal to me? And then what would I do in my next steps on that journey of what God is revealing to me for my life? So we've been writing those down. Maybe as we talk about things to subscribe to, you're writing those down. As we talk about what God may be speaking to you or you speaking to him, you're just putting that on there. We take those out. There's a little park bench right outside the doors of the church on the right-hand side, a little baskets for you to drop these in. You don't have to put your name on them, but you can just say, hey, I want to put those there for what God has revealed to me. We're posting them on a big caption wall behind that park bench. It's been filling up. It's covered from the first couple of weeks of this series. So let me give you the first wrong identity that a woman must unsubscribe from. It is that her identity is found in her appearance. The shifting sands of appearance. And we know that this is a struggle for ladies because the makeup, hair, beauty industry is a multi-squillion dollar industry. And there is this search to kind of like find the next thing. And if I have that, then I feel more beautiful. I must be more beautiful if I can find that thing that will make me feel more beautiful. On the surface, again, it's okay for a woman to say, I want to present myself well or take care of myself. But when, you know, it has consumed you to this point where, you know, it, like your whole identity depends on that appearance, now it's gotten out of hand. And, you know, you could see it. You know, again, you go to the store and the burgeoning makeup industry and they're getting the right clothes, getting the right hair color, nails. If you've been into the places that get the nails done, there's more colors there than Crayola made. I don't know how they came up with it. And I've been on this end of a shopping trip where my wife has come back and she said, she's got beauty supplies. She says, I spent $100, but I saved $20.
That's girl math. Y'all know it.
You spent $100, all right? So, you know, but this can be consuming, Sean. Talk about how it kind of crosses over the line.
I think this is a problem when you fall into the when-then trap. When you say, when this happens, then I will feel beautiful. When I get my hair just the way I want it, then I will be beautiful. When I lose 10 pounds, then I will feel beautiful. When this happens, then that happens. And I think we will never get there, women, until we just embrace the beauty that God has made us. Like Gary said, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look your best and feel your best. And I know I have an amazing hairdresser, but it's not a problem until you are putting off how you feel until something else happens.
Yeah, and so it's just this, yeah, I think you understand the point here on this, that there's a crossing over, it's unhealthy. What we know is that on any of these issues, if you turn to God, he will speak to your beauty. You want to let him speak to your beauty, not the world and all the things of this world. That is the centerpiece, of course, to anything that we're going to talk about today. What does God say? Here's the next thing, unsubscribe from this identity found in your home, your house. I've watched this happen over the years, you know. This is a thing that men struggle with as well in the comparison game. All right, so my house is nice, but oh, my neighbor's got a nicer house, so I need to get a better home. And now all of a sudden the identity is found in the home. I think, though, for women, women can see their home as an extension of themselves. And especially, and I've learned this is important, I've learned that, you know, that if the house is messy, if there's stuff all over the floor, if the, you know, dishes aren't clean, if the dishwasher is full, if the laundry is piled up, my wife gets in a place where it, you know, certainly frazzles her. She comes home and that's what she sees or experiences. It's hard for her. So I've learned, like, okay, to help out in all of these areas. I'm a slow learner, but I learned it. You know, I learned it was important. Some of you men should take good notes about this. Like, this is important. She wants that help. So, you know, again, all that stuff on the surface is no problem, but there is a way in which this identity found in the home crosses over, becomes very messy, problematic, just like it could be for a man, can be for a woman as well.
And I think we're all blessed with some sort of home that we get to take care of, and we want to take care of well and enjoy our homes and the blessings that God has given us. But I think it becomes a problem when it is so much of your identity that it limits your life, where you don't want people to come over because something's not perfect, or you're spending more time cleaning or preparing it than you are spending time with your kids, or you don't let your kids enjoy the house because you need it to be a certain way. And just like Gary said, the other trap that we fall into is comparison. And the problem with that is there's always going to be a better, newer, bigger house, and we'll never be satisfied if we keep thinking this is our identity and we have to have this to feel good or to feel enough.
All right, so good, Sean. Here's the third one. We're going to unsubscribe from identity being found in her kids. We love our kids. We do. We love our kids. But there can be a scenario where everything revolves around the kids. This could create an unhealthy home. You know, over the years, we've talked about this as a church family. We've said, hey, when the kids occupy the CEO office in the home, you've got a problem. All right? And I think this can happen to married couples, single moms, single dads. Like, there can be a problem when they kind of take over. And in that takeover, you know, our life then is put in this position of being, as I said before, revolving around them, right? Right here in this room, this is a struggle for some men. Like, you are so invested in things that your kids are doing. Like, you are literally living vicariously through them right now. How they do in sports and how they do in this. And if they're doing well, you know, as a guy, you're like, oh, man, you know, my life is going well. And again, we want our kids to do well. But when it dictates everything happening around us, that is a struggle. And women go through this as well. You know, how did she do in school? And did she win the beauty pageant or the cheerleading or sports? I mean, there's women you love go. I've watched some of y'all go nutty crazy at sports events for your kids. Like, and so whatever. But you, it's just crossing this line where they're running the show or they are taking over your identity.
And I think the problem becomes when you're looking for your kids to validate you, where you need their achievements, their accomplishments, the things that they are doing to make you look like a good parent. And you become more about looking like a good parent than caring about developing your kids' character.
It just goes down to this thing, okay? In the home, it's God first, then the marriage if you're married, and then the kids. And in that order, you know, we create healthier environments for our life identity, but for the household in general. The next one is she's got to unsubscribe from finding identity in her relationships. And this is probably a huge driver of problematic identity for women. And if you're a single lady with, you know, no kids, no marriage, like, you should pay attention. If you are a single mom, you should pay attention to this. If you are a married woman, should pay attention as well, because this situation of having a void, not having a man in your life, or a man that is living well in your life, this can be a very unhealthy driver. So like, you could be, of course, you could be a single mom, and I wouldn't blame you as a single mom, but you want to have that man in your life to be able to fulfill this important role in your life. You want that for your life. You could be a single woman. You could want that. You know, you want to meet a man. You want to get married. But when your life is being determined by whether they text you, pursue you, DM you, whatever it is, and now everything revolves around that, and if that's happening, you feel really great about yourself, but if it's not happening, if he's not pursuing you, now you feel really empty. Now you know your life is in this unhealthy position of kind of revolving around relationships. There's some married women here, like, he's not pursuing you the way that you want, and so you feel really low, like you wish he would hold you the way he holds his golf clubs, like you wish, you know, or his iPhone, but he doesn't, and so you feel kind of low in that lack of pursuit. There are, again, single moms, single ladies. Let me just say, there is a level where this turns where it gets extremely messy for a woman. In this level of desperation, fill this void in their heart and their life and their emotions. Having a man, if it's not happening, they get lower in their standards and the way they're operating in. Out of that desperation. And for some ladies, you subscribe to this equation in order to get a man. And here's the equation: more makeup plus less clothes equals more attention. And you think that's the way, you know, to fill this void in your heart. And I'm just going to say this, ladies, if you capture a man that way by flaunting it more, just know that the next woman that comes by him that flaunts it even more than you did is going to get his attention. Because that's how you caught him. And so you have to understand, like, this is where does that lead a woman into a very low and disastrous place? And it's all born out of her identity being found in having these relationships, and it's stuff like that. It's friendships as well for a woman.
Yeah, I think that a lot of women do put their identity in their friendships, and if they have friends, and sometimes they compromise who they are or their values so that that they can fit in with different groups of people, not only friends, but in marriage. And what I would tell y'all is that I love this man with my whole heart. He brings so much peace to my life and so much joy and adventure. Which is good, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And we are partners. We are partners. But here's the thing. I don't depend on him to make me happy. I don't depend on him to make me feel whole or complete. I've had to learn to develop my relationship with Jesus Christ so that I could be filled by my identity in God. And so I'm healthy and he's healthy, and so we move together in a very healthy relationship because we're not putting the wrong expectations on each other.
That's a good word, ladies. This is one, I'm just gonna tell you, if you don't figure this one out, it's gonna be an empty, broken way of living and putting your identity in relationships, unsubscribing from that. Here's another one, unsubscribing from an identity found in her career. You know, many decades ago, you know, this may have been a thing that I might just solely speak to men, you know, and I would say to men, like, hey, you got to watch out, men. You're going to put your identity in your career, and here's what's going to happen. You know, you'll forget about what's happening at home because you're so driven in your career, and oh, by the way, if you have a bad day at work, you bring it home, and you have a bad evening, and it turns into a bad night, and so men, don't put your identity in the things of work. It is a messy way of living, but now, fast forward many decades later, what we discover is we have many incredibly driven women in their career, and we have incredibly driven, amazing career women in the workforce. We see that. They do incredible, powerful things, but now that also puts them in the same situation of having to watch out for that career drive kind of consuming their identity, missing out on things at home, missing out in the healthiness of the marriage, you know, bringing problems home. Because I don't know if you've discovered this, that the people you work with are imperfect. Did you learn that? Yeah, they're messy.
And yeah, I know
you're fine, perfect. But like the people you work with are messy. And so you got to navigate, and you could bring that home, and it could cause issues. And all of that unhealthy identity found in career now comes alive for women. Sean, there's another area I wanted you to speak to, which was your situation where you came out of high school and college very driven for a career, and you were on that path, very set on that path, and then babies happened. And you had to make a shift in the way that you saw things, life, how you handled that spiritually, emotionally, and so maybe share that.
I kind of sometimes think you maybe struggled with it a little more than me, because I was driven when we met, and I went through high school, and I went and I got a bachelor's degree, and I continued on to get a master's degree. And the week that I was graduating, I found out I was pregnant with our first child, and I decided I wanted to stay home and be home with that child. And so I come home and I'm telling Gary that this is what I feel like I want to do in the future. And just a little single tear trickles down his cheek, because the ideals that we had, the dreams for the possessions and the lifestyle.
I was not a believer at that time.
We were going to have with this new career. They just kind of faded and changed. And so our priorities changed, and the way we lived our life had to change. But I think part of the danger in having your identity in the career is when you're not content in it, because often I see the women who choose a career inside the home, they get jealous or they feel like they're lacking because they see the glamour of the women who have a career outside the home. They think, those women, they get to have adult conversations every day. And those women, they're not cutting anybody's grapes at lunchtime. And then the women that choose the career outside of the home, they glamorize the moms that are doing the career inside the home, and they think it's just baking cookies and going to the park all day. So whatever career path you are on, be content in it and have purpose in it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about seasons of life and finding that contentment in that joy in that season in a moment. But here's one that we want to give you that can kind of blindside you if you're not careful, ladies, and that is finding your identity in religion. Now, what do we know about our faith? And we talk about it all the time here at our church. Religion is works. It's activity to make God love you. All right? But that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is, it is a relationship with God by understanding that the work has already been done for us on the cross. That I don't have to work to get to God. God came to me through Jesus. And so what did he want for us? He wanted a relationship. But in a woman's busyness, overwhelming schedule, chaos, things that she's going through, she could get, and a man deals with this as well, she could get so overwhelmed by work and tasks and activity that she is no longer investing in that relationship with the Lord. It's about the show. It's about looking the part. It's about getting it done. It's about checking the box. And we went to church 5-10 times this week, and we wore the right clothes, and we did the right thing, and you made butter at home, homemade. Congratulations. You did all that stuff, right? And yet you have missed out on that walk with God. That's that Mary Martha thing in the scriptures, where Martha is so busy, she's missing out on the one true thing for her life, ultimately an encounter with Jesus. Religious activity, listen, it will overwhelm your spirit, your soul, because that's not what God had intended for you as a woman.
I think you can identify that you struggle with this if there is a gap between your sacred, which is your Christian life, and your secular life, when who you are and what you do in the walls of the church and in your small groups is a gap between how you act when you walk outside of these doors or you're with other people, and the way you treat people in the community, the way you speak to your spouse, the way you speak to your children. When there is a gap between what you're trying to appear with the Christian people and the way you're walking that out with the non-Christian people, that's how you know you're trying to put an identity in something that is not true.
So you get these six that we walk through here, and I think, again, I think we see this play out pretty regularly amongst ladies. There are some women here who have figured this out, and they have put their identity squarely and solely on how Jesus sees them, and it is transformative for their life. And by the way, if you're a single man, any single men in the house here? Any? Several? Okay. Trying to help single ladies out here, whatever. Anyways, I would say this, though, single men. Yeah. If you meet a woman, meet a single woman who understands that her identity is solely on how Jesus sees her in that relationship, you should go get that phone number, like, as quick as you can and ask her out. That is a woman to be treasured. Like, don't make her write you. We don't need any Christian eunuchs, all right? You're gonna go to her and say, hey, I want to ask you out. Because that's an incredible woman. So that is a beautiful portrait of what a woman could be in this flow of her life. I will say, if you are a woman and you are here today and you are in a place where you are caught up in these wrong identities for your life, I know there's a word that describes where you are right now as a woman, and it's called tired. Tired and exhausted way of living is found in wrong worldly identity. The more you disconnect from the world and focus on Jesus, the more refreshed you are, certainly as a woman, as a man, as well. Sean, we're going to kind of flip the script now. We're going to go to subscribing to. All right, we're going to talk about things that you've learned along the way, some through wisdom of others, somehow you've just figured it out in life.
The hard way.
And share some subscribe to principles. Some of these are related to what we just talked about. Some are not. They're just little things that she's picked up along the way. And it really, as she starts this off, it's going to center around subscribing to God's grace.
Yeah, so I've struggled with having my identity drift into some of these areas. So I don't sit here before y'all like I've got it all together or I can perfectly walk this out every day. But I did find three things that I subscribe to in my life that keeps bringing me back to God. And that's the only way I've been able to just walk out the calling on my life and how God has wired me. Because here's the thing, the enemy is relentless. We never get it perfectly figured out. And people are messy and they're broken and it is hard. So these are some of the things that I subscribe to in my life to help me in my walk with Christ. And it's a good thing because a few years ago, I was with a friend and she said to me, she said, Sean, I just admire the way you run around town and you don't even care how you look. So, okay, raise your hand if you think that was a compliment. Okay, here's the thing. I took it as a compliment because I made a choice a long time ago to assume that everyone had the best intentions for me. And so I try to walk that out. I was on a retreat a few years ago, and I shared a cabin with a woman, and she would get up and she would say the most unkind things about herself. And she would just say, oh, my hair is awful, and I've gained too much weight, and I'm not good at this, and this would be so much better for somebody else. And she just kept saying these things about herself. And finally, I said to her, you would not say those things to me or about me. Why would you say those to yourself or about yourself? And I think as women, we fall into this where we do have like an inner critic.
Yeah, and I do want you to kind of touch on that a little bit because in those two stories, I think you're encompassing what it is that you've discovered. So I think the first part of this is you've discovered you got to have grace for others because they're going to say things and that are a bit offensive. And I think that's the first part of this that is she wants you to know about is grace for others and living unoffended. And in that, I want to come back to something that you just talked about earlier. The girl that said to you, she said, like, you just look however you want. You know, yeah. Go around town. I admire that. You had to make a choice right there in that moment to say, okay, I'm not going to live in this offended state. And it's not only a choice that she, and ladies, you have to make in a moment like that. It's constantly, as the world comes at you with ideas and thoughts and words that aren't always helpful. Sean, talk about this text that you have there in John 5.
Yeah, I often go to this piece of scripture whenever I get stuck in any area of my life. And it is John chapter 5, and it is where there is a man with an infirmity, and he is sitting on a mat. He has had this infirmity for 38 years, and he's sitting on a mat by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus walks up to him and says, do you really want to get well? Do you want to be made well? And I always thought this was an odd question, because who doesn't want to be made well? Who doesn't want to be better. But then I started thinking of all the times that I have gotten stuck, where I have sat on a mat and maybe not physically paralyzed, but very much emotionally, spiritually, or relationally paralyzed. And I did not want to get well. And I just wanted things to pass me by. And if Jesus had come and said, I want to get well, I would have been like, yeah, but I'm not doing anything about it. So I think it's important for us to lean into, if we want to make a change, we have to make a choice. And we get that choice through Jesus Christ all the time. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to live unoffendable? Do you want to sit here? I know some of you guys probably came in and you're offended right now. You're already mad that somebody on the parking team told you where to park, or you're mad because somebody got the last cup of free coffee before you walked up. And it's so easy to live paralyzed this way in an offensive state. But if you want to make a change, you have to make a choice.
And the man on the mat makes the choice.
Yes.
And he says, in John, it says in John 5, 8 and 9, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And once he was cured, he picked up his mat and he walked. A decision in that moment that we have to look at, I think, in a fresh way, ladies, that in every moment, you could choose to walk away from the joy of life and be weighed down by whatever's paralyzing you in a moment. You miss the joy that God wants to reveal to you. Or, I'm not going to live offended. God, you're going to do a work in your grace with me because you've forgiven me so much. And now you're going to deliver a freedom to not keep me paralyzed in that position. This is, again, it's about, living unoffended. And then the second part, Sean, was, you were talking about, you know, words even that we speak to ourselves. Grace for yourself is the other part of this grace journey, grace for yourself. Let's go back to this moment. You're on a retreat. This woman is in this cabin, and she's talking negative things about herself. And so you ask her, like, you wouldn't say those things to me, right? Go finish that there.
Oh, yeah, and I think about, like, women. Think about you guys getting ready this morning. What internal dialogue did you have with yourself? What things were you speaking to yourself when you looked in the mirror? Were you like, oh, I've gained some weight, or this doesn't look good. My hair's a mess. Like, I don't look good enough, or, are those some new wrinkles? So I think we have this inner dialogue, especially as women, and the problem with that is the words that you use, the words you speak to yourself, and the words you speak are coming from your heart, and that's where the problem is. I know for me, I've had to memorize Psalm 139:14 that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. Like that.
Well, put that on repeat, ladies. We're talking about combating the wrong identity of this world. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Like, I don't know if you know that, but you should memorize that, and it should be on repeat in your life. Go ahead, Sean.
It is most helpful when you're trying on swimsuits. If you see me going into a dressing room with swimsuits and you start hearing scripture being spoken aloud, you know it's a real spiritual battle going on in there. But I do think that our worth and our value will always be shaky until we know what God says about us. And I think there's so many of us that don't know what God says about us, how he feels about us, because we're not in the Word of God. So many of us in the room today have spent more time on social media than in God's Word today. So you don't know even what God is saying about you or who you are. And this is where I think women really, they're consuming all of the world and none of the word. And that's why we feel this negativity towards ourselves.
Let's put another scripture on repeat. Psalm 45 and 11, ladies, talking about how you see yourself. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Put that one on repeat. That the king, that the heavenly father is enthralled by your beauty. That word enthralled, ladies, comes from another word, captive, to be held captive. God, this text is saying, God is held captive. He made you. God is held captive by your beauty. It didn't put conditions on it. It said, I'm enthralled by your beauty. To know that, to listen to that, to put things like that on repeat in your life allows you to do battle against the things of this world and this unhealthy identity. Being held captive, I've been held captive by incredible things in my life over the years. I know what it's like to be held captive. When my wife came down the aisle our wedding day, I was held captive by her beauty. When both of my daughters were born, there was a lot of commotion happening in the room. When each of them were born, I couldn't take my eyes off of them. I was enthralled by their beauty. It just captured my heart and captured my mind. I'm there. I'm an imperfect man. I don't have it all. I'm an imperfect father. And as an imperfect father, if I can be enthralled and captivated by something, how much more could a perfect father be captivated by you? My daughters, when they came out, each of them, they weren't perfect either. When they came out, I mean, first of all, you know, squinched up head, looking all kind of weird, you know. Didn't matter. I was enthralled by their beauty. That if you've ever been in that moment, there's a lot of slime in the situation. You know what I mean? I won't get into a lot of details, but I was enthralled by their beauty. Couldn't take my eyes off them. There's some ladies in this room. You've got some things going on in your life right now. And you would think to yourself, you know, God could never love me. Here's, again, the king is enthralled by your beauty. Maybe you've got a sexual past and it's pretty big. And you're like, there's no way, you know, I could ever be loved because of the mistakes that I've made. The king is enthralled by your beauty. Learning that and knowing that helps you push past, again, the noise. And so we want to see that. We want women, we want you to see that. That's the main point of that first part. Sean, the second thing is you've learned to make the most of every season. You learned that from some wisdom from other ladies.
Yes, and I did have to learn this to subscribe to being intentional with the seasons. In Ecclesiastes, it says, there's a season for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And I think it's just so much more valuable to be present where you are, what God has given you now, what you've got going on in this season. I feel like if you are not faithful now, here, you will not be fruitful there.
Don't miss that. So much busyness. You're not faithful now, you won't be fruitful later. That's a story for a lot of men, but also a lot, they're not making the most of now and to produce later.
As women, often we worry or we wish our seasons away. We think when the next thing comes, then I'll have peace. When the next thing happens, then I'll be satisfied. And it's a trap that we fall into. I know I did when I was raising my kids. I always thought something was going to be better in the next season, because when my babies were born, they were constant. Like, those babies needed constant attention. And I thought, oh my gosh, when they can feed themselves and potty themselves and dress themselves, like, how much better will that be? Well, if you've had toddlers, you know they are savage.
Yeah,
they are just savage. Yeah. So then I would think, well, when they get to elementary school, then things will be calmer around here. But guess what? Elementary school was just full of reminding and constant, did you do this? Have you brushed your teeth? Where are your shoes? We're walking into a restaurant.
You don't even have
Why
your shoes
is there
on?
A pebble yeah, up your nose? Like, yeah. You ask the craziest questions you never thought you would be speaking out loud. And then you think, okay, well, middle school, right? No. But middle school turned into just being a taxi service for all of the activities. And so it was just hours and hours in the car. So then I'm like, okay, when they get 16, right? When
they
turn 16, they can drive, and then things will be better. But guess what? They got their license. They were able to have some independence. But then I missed the captive audience in the car. And so I just am here to tell you, whatever season you're in, it has its own blessings and it has its own challenges. And I'm not just talking about the seasons of raising your kids. I'm talking about whatever season you're sitting in now. If it is a season of grief, you have to walk through that to get to healing. You don't ever get over that, but you can get to where you're walking with a limp. So whatever season you're in, don't sit on a mat and wish it away and hope it passes you by and be unscathed. You won't be fruitful in the next season if you're not faithful with what you've got right now.
I think we learned over the years so many things about parenting and mothers and fathers and just life in general through connections that we made in our groups. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this other than just to say, you know, being in a group, it's one of about 100 things that happens when you're in a small group. It gives you the ability to connect with people who have been there, done that, so that you don't have to go to the school of hard knocks. You can learn some things along the way. And so next weekend, our group's registration opens for our second of three rounds that we do during the year. Our summer groups are happening. I just want to put that out there so that next week you'll be ready to sign up for one of our groups that meets throughout the week here in our community. This last one, Sean, go ahead.
We do want to subscribe to God's strength because we're all going to go through battles and difficulties and challenges. It is inevitable. But those battles and those challenges are what refines our character and develops us. Every struggle that you have gives you an opportunity to get bitter or get better. And one thing I saw as I was reading more and more scripture is where people would pray for God.